Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 245 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast.
And this one's a fun one. It's one I've been trying to lock down for a long time. It's Joe Risky, and he's fourth generation barbecue, but he is now at the Meat Board in Fort Worth, Texas. It is dubbed as Fort Worth's finest butcher shop. Their meat, their provisions, and everything. We get all into that, and it's just fabulous, and I've heard from a number of friends how great this place is. So you have to visit, especially too, between 11 and 2, they have sandwiches, and we get into their sandwiches, and I'll put a link below to their sandwiches. So they're spectacular, so you can get food, sandwiches, and then get meat to go, and then his connection and his barbecue connection within that world. And then we get into his history, and as I said, he's fourth generation barbecue. You know, in barbecue families and in families in general, they don't always go just smooth sailing. So he gets really into that. There's certain things he doesn't talk about, but he talks about most stuff. And I applaud him for that. And I'm excited that he was able to share his story and his journey. And you can tell he's passionate about a lot of different things. And he calls himself a meat geek. And you can tell he is. And his connection to, also, one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to him was, like I've wanted to talk to a lot of people, is because of Texas A&M and its connection to that. So this is a great discussion. I know there'll be a part two coming up sometime soon, but in the meantime, enjoy this. Visit the Meat Board. You've got to visit the Meat Board. And the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast and YouTube show is brought to you by Treaty Oak Distilling. They're at treatyoakdistilling.com, or they have a physical location that you could visit. Not every day, but multiple days of the week in Dripping Springs, Texas, where you could try all their different bourbons and ryes and gins and mixed cocktails and different things that they have, as well as beer and wine, and also eat at their barbecue restaurant that's on site called Alice's. You could order all their stuff online too at treatyoakdistilling.com. Great people, I'm really happy to be connected to them. Check them out. And our second sponsor for the show is Centex Smokers. They are at Centex_smokers on Instagram. That's Centex_smokers. Central Texas. They're based out of Luling, Texas. Michael Johnson, the owner, has been welding since he's 5 or 6, which is pretty crazy that a 5 or 6-year-old would be holding any instrument to weld something. But his dad obviously had the trust in him to do it. And because of that, he grew into an amazing welder. And now he makes pits. He's done 2 pits for Ronnie Killen for Killen's Barbecue. He's done a great one for Mo Kaysen. He's done a bunch more. His lead time right now is 4 to 5 months. You could do just about anything. Give them a DM on Instagram, get a quote, get lead time. But whatever you do, you can't go wrong with Centex Smokers. It's Centex_smokers on Instagram. And if you're liking these, please subscribe. That way you don't miss out. I'm on YouTube and as well as a podcast. The YouTube is youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints if you're just listening to this on the podcast version. I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. And as I kind of hint, I have a new website coming out really soon. There's been a couple life hurdles in the middle of this that I hadn't anticipated, so it's taking me a little bit longer, but it will be out soon. It's going to be a great tool for you guys. I think you're going to love it. But at the end, stay safe, stay sane, and support local by getting takeout or getting delivery. Here in Los Angeles, we can't eat outdoors anymore, so delivery and takeout's your only option. Please help them. These restaurants need you as much as possible to make it through this. Have a great week. Thanks so much. How are you doing today?
Good. We're doing good. We're getting started over here at the Meat Board and getting ready for kind of should be a busy weekend. But yeah, we're rocking and rolling.
Can you explain what the Meat Board is?
So what the Meat Board is, it's Fort Worth's finest butcher shop. What happened was you know, we do some stuff with A&M. I do some barbecue with them as far as the barbecue camps and the brisket camps. Yeah. One of the person involved is Dr. Nick Nicholson. He's a big microbiologist and food safety expert, well-respected in industry. Yeah. Okay, we became friends over the years doing smoke, analyzing smoke and wood moisture, moisture of wood and all kinds of stuff. Well, that's he kind of started talking and said, hey, you know, we're thinking about doing me and Don Ray, which is another gentleman, thinking about doing a meat shop in Fort Worth, and what do you think? Oh, yeah, I think it'd be a good idea. Well, long story short, I had my little barbecue spot at the brewery, which we can get into my path, how I ended up there, but they approached me and said, hey, you know, would you be interested in doing something with us on that? And I said, well, yeah, I guess so. And so they said, well, maybe would you be interested in consulting for, because we do sandwiches. We have 11 to 2, we do sandwiches. And so I said, yeah, that'd work. So we, kind of made a little 4-month agreement to get it going, set the menu, and kind of work along. Well, next thing you know, I'm on probably month 8, and joke and say my business card here says prisoner, like I'm not going to be able to leave. It's I hate to say high end, but it's the finest butcher shop in town. We handle upper two-thirds or upper one-third choice and prime only. We don't do anything below that. We handle a couple of local Texas Wagyus. We age everything out 30 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we have fresh food. We have pork, seafood, everything you need. It's a small unit. So it's now it's COVID, you know, kind of COVID approved because it's not a big box store. We do home deliveries, curbside.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, you come in, Kevin, you come in, get you a steak sandwich at lunch and grab some steaks to grill that night, and it's all one package. That's cool, yeah. It's a really neat little concept, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
And especially, I think, during these times, people are cooking at home a lot. People are looking for the – was there a moment when COVID hit, or at least when the pandemic was in full swing and the craziness, that you were shut down at all?
Well, no, we never shut down, but I'll tell you, I guess it was March, whatever it was, 15th or whatever. Yeah, yeah. So funny thing is we had I brought Jess Prowse in to do, we teamed up and did a hardcore carnivore sandwich because we're selling a lot of her product and
that's friends.
That's
cool. Okay. Then maybe that's also why it was in my brain.
Yeah, so she's down Austin way, 3 hours away. So I said, hey, come up, let's do a sandwich together and we'll help promote your stuff and it'll help us and let's do it. Yeah, okay. Risky, whatever. Yeah, okay. So she comes up, we do that on a Friday. And then I guess Saturday they're like shut down, the world's shutting down. And we started back work again on Tuesday. And I told myself, I was like, you know what? Let's just see if we can get through Tuesday. And I went and told all my kitchen help. I said, hey, look, guys, we're working the day, but I don't know what tomorrow brings.
Yeah.
But if we just make some numbers here, we can keep this thing going. Well, then next thing you know, we're 2 weeks later. We hadn't got a night, we're kicking butt. People started, spilling their freezers. They were looking for meat anywhere. So we got a ton of that. Now our sandwich business went away, but our kitchen, we do grab and go sides and stuff. So my kitchen guys are,
That's smart. They're
doing that. So we just kept on going. And the next thing you know, we're talking to you today and it finally just now leveled out. But yeah, it was crazy there for a while and didn't know if we would make it day to day, but we ended up, by the grace of God, made it.
Was there a supply chain issues at all, or because you guys use small?
Well, we hedged a little bit on some stuff knowing it was coming. We knew briskets were going to get lean because we knew that's the first victim of the grinder when it comes to ground beef shortage. So we knew that was coming. So we went ahead and hedged up a little bit on those. And we're in partners with another guy, it's a cut shop meat purveyor that we kind of bought some stuff in bulk. And, being you got to age it, we like to age everything 30 days. If we bought, we can buy it green and hold on to it for 30 days and it's right into our plan.
So,
yeah, we hedged up on that. We had, we couldn't grind enough. We were grinding all day long and we don't have a big grinder. We're a little bitty grind shop. And I mean, at first everybody bulked up, got the product and thought, oh, that's great. Well, then they ate it and go, oh, wait a minute. This is actually good. And so now we've got a lot of people that come in and this is their go-to. They come in, get two prime fillets or three prime ribeyes. And we see them every week.
I need to move back to Texas. There is a butcher shop that we use. They use primarily Harris Ranch.
Right. So Julia, one of our people here, is kind of our media, social media, that kind of responsibility. She actually interned for a while. She's got a master's from A&M. She interned at Harris Ranch. So we're familiar with Harris Ranch, yeah. And I used to buy some stuff from them when I was over at my father's location. So, yeah, I'm familiar with them.
Is the restaurant then closed for now or because of COVID? Is that how?
Yeah, so when I was over at the brewery and I had the Joe Risky's Barbecue, the brewery decided at the first year they wanted to do their own food in-house.
Oh.
So I was kind of like, I was a third party that was renting out the facility doing my barbecue. And I did we were open for the brewery one day a week, really was only good. And the rest of the time I was doing catering and offsite stuff.
Oh.
So they kind of thought, well, I think we ought to take this over. They hired a chef and kind of set up a culinary division and said, hey, we're going to move you on and da, 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 which it was the best thing that happened to me because I ended up here. I was doing 90% catering and 10% retail. It was in a cool location once you got there, a bad location getting there. In a couple of years, maybe it'll be a hot spot, but it was kind of one of those deals. It was a great deal for me. I didn't have to invest a lot of money into it. I was able to kind of do what I wanted to do, and it was a great opportunity. But I've since then, you know, ended up in a better situation for me.
Well, especially with the catering, if it was 90% of your business, catering is pretty down right now. It's not.
No, and it would have been, if I would still be at the brewery, but I mean, it would have been a fork in Joe. He'd been done, because there would be nothing for me to do. I mean, I was associated with a brewery, which has been closed, obviously. And then catering is my back fall, and that was gone. Yeah. So it'd have been double snake eyes. It'd have been a bad deal.
It's weird how things seem to happen for a reason, and that definitely happened for a reason. Well, let's go back. Did you grow? I know you grew up in the barbecue business, but was it in Fort Worth or was it outside of Fort Worth?
Fourth generation barbecue pitmaster, yeah. Barbecue guy.
Cooker.
So my great grandfather Joe Risky and Mary Risky, they back in 27 started a grocery store on the north side of Fort Worth.
Okay.
So they were actually, her brother Mary had a little grocery store. Everybody had grocery stores on the corner because no one drove. Obviously, there was a few, you know, and so you had to walk to it. So they were like, you know, like vape shops are now. They're everywhere. So. They had a grocery store and they had three sons. And so they had a little grocery market, did that. She, Mary, great grandmother, she came in through Ellis Island and took work in New York as working as a maid and for some rich families, Jewish rich families. And she started messing with brisket there for holidays and stuff. Now she wasn't just sitting there doing, you know, an offset smoker, but she was handling the meat. Mm-hmm. So once the grocery store got going and then, you know, meat kind of got long, they needed a way to save it. So therefore, that's when she started showing them, hey, we can smoke this stuff or whatever. And so she was kind of, Granny Risky was kind of the one that knew a little bit about the smoke. And so then my dad came along. And when he was probably in the early 70s, he started messing with barbecue at the grocery store. And kind of, he was the one that really put the barbecue on the map. He was very mechanical. I'm a lot like him now, mechanically. He's very mechanical. So he kind of started building his own pits, cooking barbecue. His friends would say, man, I can't hardly eat it because it's so sooty tasting. So he would go back and redesign that pit. And
were they similar to the offsets, or were they similar to like how Blacks has it or Louis Miller?
I call it like a sausage pit, you know, a flat horizontal lifter lid, you know, one rack kind of deal, brick.
Yeah.
That was what he started on. And then from there, he ended up making a rotisserie, but it was still brick exterior.
Okay.
So that was his first rotisserie. And then probably late 70s, 78-ish, early 80s, that's when he first did his full-on stainless steel exterior. And it was pretty much, he got the idea, not the idea, but he kind of, it all made sense and was visual for him when he saw like a Southern Pride.
Gotcha.
But what was different than our pits and the Southern Pride is, for one, it was a stick burner. Mm-hmm. No gas was
gas initiated.
The gas, you can light the fire with a gas torch that's next to it, but it's a stick burner. He figured out that you needed to introduce oxygen during your whole cook into the, you got to introduce fresh air. The whole cook cycle. You don't want to, you know, snuff it off or shut your vent off and all that stuff. So that's where he really started kind of dialing in his stuff. And then from there, he obviously made a bunch of them and kind of had them and sold one or two to local people. And there's an actual creator that was here forever named Vance Gobbies. He sold one to him back in the day because Vance, when they started out, Vance helped him on caterings and let him borrow his equipment. So he sold him a pit. Well, my father passed away in February. And they reached out to me and my brother right after that and said, hey, we have that pit if you're interested in it. So we've actually acquired and we have one of the original Jim Risky pits. That's pretty special. We've got it in a storage facility. So that's that. But back to the history. So that it went along. And then my dad, you know, in the 80s, he partnered up with a guy, early 80s, partnered up a guy. And they went and bought the old Chuck Wagon hamburger joints, which are like almost like, do y'all have Burger Box there?
No, we don't.
Well, do you have like the, you know, the little, it's almost like a little photo mat on a parking lot?
But oh, yeah, it's like, yeah, yeah. Little, yeah, we used to have so many of those.
Yeah, I don't know what you had, but there was one called Chuck Wagon back in the day, and it literally had a canopy that looked like a chuck wagon, but it was a small unit on a parking lot kind of deal. And some of them were full size, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So he actually bought a few of those. Him and a partner bought that and started Risky's To Go, which was kind of like a fast food concept of barbecue. Okay. So that was his first dabble into it versus just having, because we've always had the grocery store and did barbecue out of there, butchery, you know, had a little meat market, and you got groceries. So he started doing that.
But they weren't cooking on site for that, were they? Were they bringing it in? Or?
Cooking at the main place and then running it over there.
Sandwiches and things. And
Yeah. So he did that. Well, then it just partnerships got bad. That went away. He kept a few of them and turned them into his own Risky's Barbecue. And then that's kind of where he started. Well, once that took off, and then Billy Bob's asked him to come in, which is the largest honky-tonk here in town, asked him to come in and do food there. He started doing that. And then it just started kind of snowballing, just like you see today when you got a good barbecue guy, everybody wants a piece of it.
Yeah, of course.
Reaching out, you know, this and that. Well, then his sister, which lived over in Dallas, had a car wreck and was in the hospital. And so he would go visit her every day. And going over there and visiting her, he ran into a guy that had Dick's Last Resort, which was a restaurant concept, and his name was Richard Chase. And Richard Chase was, his backstory is he did movies on, you know, documentaries, and he actually infiltrated the Hell's Angels and lived with them for like 2 years.
Oh, I remember seeing something about that. Yeah, because, okay, interesting. Yeah, yeah.
He was a wild dude.
Crazy.
I never met him. But my dad would tell me about him. So Richard Chase, dad and him met, and maybe my dad had a couple of happy hour drinks, letting traffic die down. I'm just saying. But he met this guy, and he said, "Hey, do you smoke back ribs?" And my dad's like, "No, they're junk. Why? No one smokes back ribs." He goes, "Well, I've got a new concept I'm doing with a guy. It's the Tommy's Heads Up Saloon, which is Tommy Alsup's, which was the one apparently that flipped the coin to who got on the airplane with the big bopper." You know, he didn't get on the plane. Whatever. I don't know that story. My brother knows that story a little better. So he said, "We want to smoke back ribs and have them as a happy hour deal. Could you do it?" And he's like, "Yeah, okay, I'll smoke them, drive them over here to meet when I go visit my sister. You meet me, I'll give them to you, whatever." So he starts doing that, and then they said, "Hey, we've got this spot that might be a great restaurant for you if you ever want to get in a restaurant deal." And he's like, "Yeah, okay." So he does it. Well, it ends up being kind of a mess at first, and he got himself not in trouble, but there was a lawsuit. Long story short, he ends up turning it into Risky's Barbecue, and that was the first Risky's Barbecue full-service restaurant.
On the way between Fort Worth and Dallas?
30, 40 minutes away.
Okay.
And that was the first one he did, and that was right along the time when Jerry Jones bought the Cowboys, so that was like early 90s or midnight, and they would come in there. It was the coolest thing. We didn't know this guy named Troy's the quarterback. He comes in. So anyway, he did that, and then once that hit and it became popular, then Stockyard Station reached out to him. They were redeveloping the Stockyards and the Fort Worth Stockyards and said, "Hey, we'd love to have a concept here." And then downtown, which was Sundance Square, the Bass Brothers said, "Hey, we'd love to have a concept here." So that's when he really got in the restaurant business. And he was in his early 50s. That's when it all kind of hit and really took off. And that's when Risky's Barbecue really took off, was the early 90s. And so I was just a young kid.
Yeah, were you part of it?
You know, my parents were divorced, but I lived south of Dallas. But I was up there all the time. I mean, I'd go spend time with him. And my dad, you know, he was very mechanical. I was too. And we would always work on stuff. I mean, it was, you know, I was interested in it. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a barbecue guy. He welded. He cut wood. He had a flatbed truck.
Oh, that's so great.
Oh, this is the coolest thing ever. So I get a little older and I turn 16 and I start working at the West End as a food runner. So I started out initially in the food restaurant industry part of the business. I didn't really know much about the meat or the barbecue. I learned, you know, how to food run, expedite, the kitchen. I learned wait staff, all that business end of it. And so I started there. And then from there, I was in junior college. I got in a little bit of trouble. I got in a little trouble, got a DWI when I was like 19. So then I had to go to Fort Worth. Yeah, it does. And so I had to go to Fort Worth and start work. And I started working for him at the steakhouse. He had, by then he had bought, had a little steakhouse. And so I was like, he was like, you're going to come over here and be a line cook at the steakhouse. Okay, so I went over there, and it was hard work, man. It was, I mean, it was a 6-foot gas grill, and I had to cook steaks. And anyway, so I stayed over there and did that. And in the process of that, I started working more at the main store, which is the commissary, where everything was prepared and cooked. And then I started doing the buying. And so then I became a buyer. And so then that's when I started learning a little bit about the meat industry. And in the midst of my DWI, I had to do community service. Now, this is a wild, long story.
This is a great, though. This is great, though. I think this will, at least people will get a good idea as to where you are today.
In the midst of being community service, we had a friend that was the president of the Fort Worth Food Bank, Tarrant County Food Bank. And my dad said, you're going to go down there to Robbie, and he's going to put you to work off those 24-hour community service. And I said, okay, that's great. So I go down there thinking I'm going to pack groceries and, you know, separate food, you know, like he would. Well, no, he took me up to his office and he sat me down and he just started lecturing me on buying, trough buying, highs and lows, markets, all this stuff. And I'm going, what do I care? What time we get out of here? I got places to be. So I didn't know it, but I was learning a lot about the meat industry just from being around it. So I learned more and more about buying. And then from there, I just, you know, started working more with in my dad's business. And I started managing some little delis. And then I kind of got to really hone in my skills on, I hate to say marketing, but getting people in the door, for, you know, making relationships with customers, and kind of went through that. Well, then about that time I got engaged and was going to get married to my wife, Courtney. And I told my dad that I really think I needed to step out of the business for a little bit to focus on my marriage. And so I wanted to go do sales. So he kind of disagreed, whatever, but he treated me right. And we parted ways, and I went out and started doing sales, and ended up from the sales, ended up doing real estate, and really liked that. Worked for a guy that my actual wife works for now. She's the team leader for a very large real estate company here in town. Wow. So I started, and then once the real estate market tanked in 07, 06, whatever, I went back. I was still working for my dad. We had self-service car washes, and I would do that part-time. That was kind of a part-time gig. I would work, like, fix all the car washes. And so I was still around my dad a lot, and I was still learning from my dad. And so that happened in 06, 07, and I realized how much hard work it took to be successful in life, and if I was going to do it, I needed to do it for my family and my brand. And so I went back to work for that, and it was kind of a messed up deal at the time. There was some family involved. That's a whole, maybe that's the part I don't want to talk about publicly, but it was kind of messed up. But I went ahead and moved forward and started really, you know, doing some stuff in the business that was starting to help the business and learning. Well, that's when the light came on, and I realized that maybe this family that's involved with it now that I don't agree with, the one thing they don't know is barbecue. Big Jim, my dad, knew barbecue. Like, he knew barbecue. That's what he knew first, and the rest of it he learned. So I thought, you know what? That's what I need to learn is barbecue, because if the shit hits the fan, pardon the French, we got to cook that. Barbecue.
Yeah.
We got to cook the barbecue. So that's when I really started. And then it, like, all kind of came together, the meat industry, knowing the backside of the meat industry and all that and all that. So then I thought, well, I need to learn different cuts of meats. I got to learn it all. I need to learn this. So from there, I just kind of went on a path. And I remember driving down the road with my dad, and I told him, I said, hey, I want to be the barbecue man. I don't want necessarily, you know, I'm not talking about wealth and riches, but I want people to come to me and say, ask me barbecue questions. I want to know a lot about it.
Yeah.
So that's when I started really learning. And then from friendships and stuff, I saw the A&M schools, and I was like, man, I want to go to that. And so I joined, and I couldn't get in. And then next thing you know, I meet another, you know, one of my friends is cooking down there, and he's like, come on down there with me. And so I go, and then it's just like, I don't know if you've been there, but it's just like.
No, I've signed up every time. I haven't made it yet.
I've only gotten invited once from signing up like that, and I've been going down it forever, but. But anyway, it was just like an eye-opening experience, because once they pulled out the cow and start taking the cuts of meat and laying it on there, man, it was crazy. Like, it totally opened my mind up. And I remember, and then I met a ton of – and see, we grew up where other barbecue people are the enemy. I mean, if you talk to them, you watch out, or do not tell them one thing. And so anyway, you're the enemy. Well, I go down there and meet all these guys, and they're all super nice. And we all have the same, we all have the same stories. And I'm like, this is great. Well, I remember going back and they were telling me all their struggles about, you know, learning this, learning that, da, 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 da. Well, I just went back to my dad and I remember the day I was sitting there in front of him. I said, I just want to thank you because you have done, you did all that shit. You did all the struggles.
Yeah, so all the hard work was, yeah, yeah.
All we got to do is keep the machine going. So anyway, long story short, I kept working there and things kind of started deteriorating with me and my dad. And we had some agreements in place and they kind of got further and further apart. And it was a lot of bullshit family politics that were coming in and getting involved and everybody's trying to make everybody look bad.
Which happens. It's not unusual. It's not the only, you're not the only one.
It's usually how the story's written.
This is a very familiar story.
So long story short, I stepped out and did a pop-up. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do a pop-up on my own and see how strong my name is to see if people are going to come in there and go, well, where's the, you know, all you can eat beef ribs and sloppy chopped beefs, or if they really tag on to the fact that they, you know, they like barbecue. So I did it, and a friend of mine, Juan, that's got a really successful little place here, he's like, yeah, come and do it here. I was like, okay. So I went and did it, and to me, it was a hit. Everybody enjoyed it. I was super nervous. I did it and cooked it all on site and all that. And my dad really got upset about it and was acting. And I kept telling him, I was like, look, it's a great opportunity for us to have a test kitchen.
Yeah,
we can do things off the menu there to see if they hit, and then we can put it in production. And he just wasn't having it. And I get it. So then it just came to the point where one day he said, you're gone. I don't need you anymore. That was it. Yeah. And that was a sad day for all of us involved. So then from there, I still had my brand. I was still kind of building it, started doing catering. I always did festivals, you know, and started doing festivals and kind of built it up. And then I ended up, a friend of mine says, hey, I got the brewery spot. Are you interested in that? He owned it. And I said, yeah. So I did that. And then now I'm at the meat board. And at the meat board, we also still cook barbecue.
That was the question I wanted to ask.
Yeah, so what we do here is I smoke them and then I cool them down. We do briskets and smoked turkey. And then we actually slice them up and put them in little vacuum bags that are resealable.
Oh, cool.
And then sell it, like where if you wanted to have brisket tacos that night, you come in and get you a 1-pound package. You boil water, sous vide it back, or however
perfect,
you want to do it. You
perfect. Don't.
So that's what I do. And then I do a lot of catering. Well, not a lot of catering, but what little we can do now. Yeah. But I do it through the meat board. And then moving forward with the meat board, it's going to fall back into more of the, I've always said at Risky's, I was a barbecue manufacturer. I mean, we ran around with forklifts. I mean, you know, when you're cooking 200 cases of ribs a week and 100 cases of brisket a week, I mean, it's not something you jump into. So we're not necessarily wanting to be a mass producer, but we would be interested in maybe setting up a facility where we could cook maybe some USDA briskets and kind of open that up to some of the, you know, the industry. Like we want a brisket tamale, but the people that make
I see.
Have barbecue cooked at your restaurant, it's got to be through a facility that's USDA. So those are the things we're talking about. I mean, it's all talk right now, but
it'd be a wholesale basis.
Yeah, exactly. And go approach different people. You know, there's a lot of these, you know, online food services that are sending out meals. You're familiar. XYZ. And if we could maybe offer an opportunity where they could put some brisket in there, that would be really cool. So that's just kind of this, it's kind of pie in the sky, but that's what we're talking about. But with the meat board, we're probably going to be open some more locations soon. And I'll be a part of this with the culinary and the food. And like I said, I'm a meat geek through and through. Yeah. I love meat. And so that's kind of the reason that this place is like almost like it was meant to be for me. So very happy to be here and love everything about it.
Yeah, you seem happy. I was going to ask, how are you feeling? Like, is it? This seems like a good place for you. It seems like a perfect spot.
Absolutely. It's a great place. And I mean, the ownership, they're excited, and they're, you know, their knowledge they have. I mean, Don especially, I mean, he at one time, I mean, he was big with Tyson. He started out, I mean, he's got years of experience in the industry, and it's exciting to be along the ride. So.
And being involved with Dr. Nick, like I know, and I'm in Los Angeles and I know about him. And so it's a great group of people that you guys have assembled. It's almost the perfect team. I'm so glad I got to meet you. Thank you for taking the time. And then we'll talk again.
Yeah, no problem. Well, I appreciate it. And let me know if you need anything. Thank you. Have a good one.
Have a great day.